Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Veronica Fossaro is a Swiss singer-songwriter who's armed with powerful vocals, an inbuilt gift for storytelling, and hues of alternative pop, soul, rock, and more. Her 2023 debut album, All the Colors of the Sky, reached number 5 on the Swiss charts. Veronica has had the opportunity to perform at over 500 live performances, including opening for Dire Straits legend Mark Knopfler, at the iconic stages of the Glastonbury Festival and the Montreux Jazz Festival, and closing out 2023 with a sold-out appearance in Zurich. With a formidable live presence, Veronica seamlessly balances joy with powerful undertones in her incredible sonic output, and her driving passion stems from finding a love for music at an early age, as well as a gift for fusing her inspiration into her music. Veronica plans to release her follow-up album in 2025. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Veronica Fossaro.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I am currently in Bern. I am in my home and in Switzerland, Bern, Switzerland.
Let's rewind. At what age, whether it was a child or teenager, did you feel cool? You want to be in the entertainment, creative music world. And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I think it was more of an unconscious thing. Like, I always loved making music. Whenever there was something I could participate in school that had to do with music, like a choir, that's
yes.
How you say it, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. And yeah. Or a musical and stuff like that, I was always like, I want to be a part of this because I enjoyed doing it, honestly. And then in third grade, I started playing the guitar for a little bit, and I eventually started writing own songs. I say it like that because the songs are really bad, but you know, you got to start up somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I guess the first time I really stood on a stage with a band was in the seventh grade. But so we had like a band school night and that was super cool. And that was the first time I was standing on a stage and I was like, yeah, I want to do this as a job. I want to do this. I want to be a musician. I want to be an artist.
Okay, so understanding that at that point, being on stage, what were the next steps?
Ooh, I mean, just lots of dreams. I always dreamed of, because I had my idols. I was looking up to, you know, so many artists that I listened to, like Amy Winehouse or Adele or Jessie J, Michael Jackson, et cetera, et cetera. So I always saw those artists touring the world, giving concerts, people from all around the world listening to them. So I always sort of had these dreams that I wanted to achieve, but how is kind of a big question mark because there is no recipe. There's no, you can study music, but it won't guarantee you anything, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to make you a successful musician. But for me, it was just like, honestly, writing songs. It was always clear to me I wanted to write songs. It wasn't just about doing covers because I felt like sharing my thoughts, honestly, and giving concerts. And so I just kept going. I participated in competitions and singing competitions, songwriting competitions, all of that stuff. And I slowly, ended up winning a major competition in Switzerland called Demo Tape Clinic. And that caught the attention of the national radio. And I then started to work with a manager. So it all became more professionalized in 2016, let's
say.
Okay. Yeah.
These competitions, each time you entered, was it like, I'm pushing as hard as I can, I'm going to win? Or was it just like, let's just see what happens?
Good question. I think, of course, if it's a competition, it's like, I would love to win. It's great. Who doesn't want to win? but also, I think, although I was, you know, really self-conscious of many things as a teenager and as a human being generally.
Yeah.
But if it was about music, I just really enjoyed making music and I didn't care too much about other people. You know, I just loved what I was doing and I was doing my thing. And if I didn't win, actually, I was even more energy fueled, like,
yes,
I'm going to show you next time, whatever.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know. I just liked participating in whatever platform there was. I was trying to keep pushing, really. Mm.
You've referenced writing, so let's dive into that. So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Do you create by yourself, collaborate with others? Let's unpack your creative brain and creative process.
Mostly I write by myself. I think for me, it's when I start writing an album, I just recently started, I'm now finishing writing my second album, but when I started writing that album, for me, it's so important to be by myself. So I have the space, the music and I and my instruments are the only influence on me. So I can really gather my thoughts and I can really figure out what I want to do with this. And then in a second step, I can be like, okay, look, this is the sketch I have of what I envision this world to be, this universe to sound like of this project. And then I go, obviously, I reach out to people. I reach out to producers. I brainstorm with my manager on who to work with. I do some songwriting sessions, but like more selected. I'm not the type of person to go and do 100 songwriting sessions because it just doesn't feel like my way to create music. I don't like the almost like Charlie Chaplin factory, you know, imagery of song, 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 song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wrote 10 songs for this album. The other song, I had plenty of ideas, but like I don't keep working on them as soon as I realize I don't feel it or I don't it, you know.
But you referenced the period of time of being alone in the first step of creation. During that time, are you able to listen to music by other artists, or do you have to be separate from music from the world at that point?
At that point, mostly I love to listen to music at that point because I'm really trying to sonically, lyrically, trying to figure out where to go without, you know, I'm not copying anything at that moment. It's more about the feeling that music can convey. For example, for this album, at the beginning, I was stuck in a writer's block. I was feeling really bad. I was not doing good. And then I was like, you know what? Let me listen to the artist that I grew up listening to. And let's listen to his first projects. That was very important to me because I feel like the first projects are the most careless ones. So it's this artist called Vasco Rossi, an Italian artist, rock artist. And like listening to his first records, it was so careless in a way, but not... It was deep. He meant what he was singing and meaningful, but not like in a heavy, forced way almost. What I mean? And that really, that sentiment, that way to make music, that really inspired me. And that's how I listened to music at that point when I go into writing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say the first album, because oftentimes the first album is the step in, you know, the step into the creative world. And then it's like, okay, success now, the record label, whoever, okay, we want more of this. We want more of this. So there's that pressure, that energy of like, oh, we need to now recreate because it's now success. And now we need to recreate that success. So it makes sense exactly what you're saying.
It's an interesting phenomenon. But then again, there's great third albums. I'm not saying.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
You get what I mean. There's something naive, beautifully naive about first projects, I think, personally, before the big success. Yeah.
Okay, so you referenced earlier about envisioning the creation and the picture, and you also referenced feeling. I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So this is the way people process information. And part of that is a processing skill. Now, there are three processing skills, and each of us have a dominant one, a secondary one, and a tertiary one. So what that means is our dominant one will be in it most of the day. Secondary, we maybe will tap into it. Tertiary, some people don't even use it. Now, the three of them are visual people create information or process information through pictures. So as I'm talking now, a visual person will see the pictures that I'm talking about. Auditory people, it's about the words, about the sentences, about the paragraph. So they'll hear the word. They'll understand the word, they'll put the word into the paragraph, understand the paragraph, and so forth. Kinesthetic, I'll do that word again. Kinesthetic, it's about the energy, the body language, the tone of voice, the emotion, the feeling. So they'll watch the whole communication come through, then process all those different elements. Now, focusing specifically on music, because in other areas of your life, it'll be different. But focusing on music, when you're listening to songs of your own or by other artists, are you creating pictures? Is it about the words and lyrics, or is it about the feeling and the emotion?
That is very interesting. I didn't know about that, so thank you already. That's a good question. I think what is beautiful about music is that inside of me, it causes something that I cannot grab in words necessarily. So I guess the second one, it's not the second one. But
yeah.
I deeply care about lyrics, words, obviously, but
yes.
Inside of me, it's like, I think it's actually the third one, because it's not, I like to describe music with scenery and imagery and stuff, but I don't necessarily have those pictures. I can feel those pictures. So
yeah.
I guess it's the third one. I can feel the sentiment that a room is giving me, or the song, whatever, the songs in the desert. I could feel that the emotion that the desert can give you, that sort of thing.
Okay,
I guess so it's the third one. I would
yeah.
say it's the third one.
So you must probably be dominant in kinesthetic, then secondary visual, and then tertiary auditory, or combination. Interesting.
What about you? How do you?
Thank you for asking. So it's very rare for people to be equally dominant in all three. And I did a course a number of years ago. We had to do like a test. And the test was 150 questions.
That's a lot of questions.
I remember, yeah, it was like chicken questions, you know, like. And for you being dominant, potentially kinesthetic, your score would have been 100 kinesthetic, and then possibly 30 or 40 visual, and then 10, you know, auditory. For me, my results came in equally 50, 50, 50.
Okay.
So I'm equally dominant in all three. So actually when listening or in life, I'm switching between all three all the time. So with music, I'm hearing the words clearly all the time. I don't have to focus to listen to them. It's about the feeling, and it's a creating picture. So it's all three equally at the same time.
That's exciting. That's very cool. It kind of feels like is it tiring for you to listen to music? Like, do you get exhausted? Does your brain feel like it's working a lot, or is it like very natural to you, or how does it?
My brain is always working a lot. It's a bit tiring, overthinking,
okay.
But I've gotten used to it. Now understanding this,
okay.
I know how to use it. Pre to understanding it, I used to, with communication, that used to confuse me a lot when I was talking to people.
Okay.
Because I would switch from one to the other. And I'd be in visual creating pictures, and then I'd go switch into auditory without realizing, and then be like, I don't understand what you're saying. So
yeah,
now
yeah.
understanding, that's given me the tools to understand my brain a little bit better.
That's beautiful. I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you.
Cool.
I love Mia CD. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, for me, it's an energy exchange to you guys to say thank you for all the hard work you do, because it is hard work, and it's, you know, that's energy thanking. I'm not sure if you're aware, CDs, vinyls, even cassettes on a massive comeback. Last year alone in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. CDs as well now. In the UK, there's a basket of products of goods that they gauge for exchanges for tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs, these products are now being added back to the baskets. And the research is showing that it's actually the teenagers, it's actually the early 20s that are diving into this world, and not the older nostalgic people. But then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I mean, definitely. I mean, I have vinyl. I have every project of mine on vinyl. Except for like the very first EP, because budget was tight at the beginning. But I have CDs of every project. I personally care a lot about it, because as you say, it's like a process. You open it, it's beautiful. You know, you put thoughts into the pictures, into how you design it. It's like an extension of the music world of your project. So I really appreciate you saying that you care about it, because it's like, yes, other people care about it. It's lots of thoughts. But I mean, we do sell, especially at gigs. I sell quite a bit of vinyl and CDs at gigs. I would say more CDs in Switzerland, but vinyls for sure as well. And all type of ages, to be honest, not just specifically younger. But it makes totally sense to me, because for the younger people, it's something new. Even I didn't grow up listening to vinyl, you know, but my parents had vinyls at home, but I didn't grow up listening to vinyl, but I got a vinyl player like two Christmases ago, because I liked it. What's the opposite of acceleration? The slowing down of the consumption of music, and
exactly.
actually listening to an album from A to Z. It just feels feels good. I enjoy listening to music like that. As much as I, obviously I use Spotify, I use streaming platforms, YouTube, etc., because it is very handy and super cool to be working like that. Oh, what's the song? You could type in some lyric and it comes out. It's great, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's just there's something about listening to, like putting the vinyl on there. It's like, yeah, it's an act of care. There's more care into the whole ceremony type of thing, it's like a
No, it is.
process.
Versus
Going
like an
through.
experience. Like experience, exactly.
Exactly.
And you gave me an interesting reason of why younger people are diving into it, because it is new to them. They didn't grow up by this. It's like, oh, this is something interesting and new. In fact, even though I'm still in that world, for a lot of people who grew up with it, it's like, oh, whatever. But now for the younger people, it's like, oh, this is new. This is something exciting, something I've never experienced before. So that's actually also very interesting. And what do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh, the whole thing you get to do on a stage. Honestly, people coming out to see you and me being able to share my music with an audience, with a room, and being able to influence that room and that space. I love to play music. I really enjoy to perform. Just the act of me singing my songs with my bands or just by myself with the guitar. And then obviously have a response and an energy coming back to you. Or sometimes it's a little bit more of a challenge. You get a, at festivals, for example, when people don't necessarily only come for me as an artist. It's like, okay, let's see if we can have some fun, even though you don't know me. And I like various aspects, all of these aspects, to be honest.
Okay, so I've got a point of discussion around this. I'm that guy that's standing right up in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two songs, one or two videos, one or two photos, and I put it away. I notice
Beautiful.
that a lot of times these people are posting, tweeting, filming a lot of the show. You reference that energy exchange. Do you not feel that that takes away from it, or it's just where society is at this time?
I'm not in the situation or in the point of my career where I have like phones up all the time by all of the people. My audience for now has been very, like, as you said, might take a bunch of pictures, some videos for the memory, but then most of the time they put their phones away. I have rarely had like one person who all through the concert was like this. That already, one person just doing that felt a little bit like, yo, I'm here. You can look at me. So I don't want to know, but it must be crazy for if you think about somebody like Billie Eilish looking into an ocean of phones, it's kind of, I mean, it influences the energy for sure. If I realize one person doing that, if I notice that, it must be even more, it must be multiplied when almost everybody does that. But yeah, you don't getting to look people into the eyes and getting to your, I'm telling my songs, I'm telling my stories when I sing, right? So I'm telling them a story as if I would when I'm talking to you, basically.
Exactly.
So it's very personal. Like our eyes are like the gates to our souls, etc., etc. It makes it much more personal getting to look somebody in the eye.
I love that. Yes, totally agree. What's coming up for the next period of time?
It's exciting times. There's lots of question marks at the moment, but also like I'm in the process of finishing my songs. Like in the production bits, there's like three songs I need to record the final vocals for, and then I'm going to Berlin to the producer to like finish everything off. And then we already did the photo shoot for the album, which I'm also super excited about. We're gonna do a live session with the band. We're gonna do preparations for tour next year. So lots of things happening all around that album. Yeah, very exciting times.
And do you have an idea of when the album will be coming out, or is that also still a question mark?
It's gonna be around May or June. It's not gonna be earlier, not later either. Except for
Lovely.
if whatever happens, you never know, never say never, right? But yeah, right now the plan is to release it in May, June.
I love this game. I know, and I know you're going to love this game as well, just from our interaction. So I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 years, I know your answer will be different every time, simply because there are millions of them. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind.
Okay.
You had to push play to five songs by other artists, or if you can't think of specific songs, just five artists, What songs would you play, or which artist would you play once we finish this conversation?
Okay, I would listen to a song by Chappell Roan because I love her at the moment. I love what she's doing. Let's go for Red Wine Supernova because it
Yes.
makes me feel good. It's fun. Then I'm really into McGee. I hope I say his name right. McGee, at the moment, he's like a guitarist, singer. Feels very good, but I actually can't think of the song title. But yeah, just one of his songs. Then I would go for Vasco Rossi, the artist I mentioned before. A song called Sally, just because it makes me feel very emotional on various levels. Nostalgia, memories, but it's also just a very genuine and beautiful song. Let's go for Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, because need I say more? Legendary artist, legendary song, beautiful production, everything. And then Uptown Funk, because I'm thinking of it right now, by Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars is
You see, I love this
freaking
game because literally, if I had to ask you again now, you'd have another five. So
Yeah, for
I love
sure.
it. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Veronica, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you, Barrett, for having me very much. Please take care of yourself and of each other. Be kind to one another. And if you find some time and want to listen to some music, you can go check me out on whatever streaming platform you're listening music to. Veronica Fusaro and my new song, Slot Machine.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.